I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to look again at verses 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel. If you look back at verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." So the gospel, the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is what saves us. That's what takes care of our burdens. That's what takes the load that we've been carrying. That's what sets us free, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the independent, non-denominational New Testament Christian Church, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every Sunday. Most of the Christian world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. We celebrate it every Sunday. It's a resurrection Sunday every Sunday. We do participate in the Easter celebration with the rest of the Christian world, but the resurrection of Jesus is a key issue every Sunday for us. Every Sunday, not just once a year, but at least once a week. And because Jesus was resurrected, Christians will be resurrected. Because Jesus was resurrected, Christians will be resurrected. Say it with me. Because Jesus was resurrected, Christians will be resurrected. Do it again. Because Jesus was resurrected, Christians will be resurrected. Go down to verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. He's going to talk about that resurrection body. He's going to talk about Christians' resurrection. Why are Christians resurrected? Because Jesus was resurrected. Why are Christians resurrected? Jesus was resurrected. So we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every Sunday. Most of the Christian world celebrated on Easter as a special day. We're talking about now the fact that because Jesus was resurrected, we're going to be resurrected, and we're going to talk about what does that mean? What does it mean that I'm going to be resurrected? Let me share with you a little joke I told just a week or two ago. I'm not sure if it was last week or week before. But some people have this question, are we going to know each other in heaven? You ever heard anybody ask that question? Are we going to know each other in heaven? And My answer is, you're going to be you and I'm going to be me. You're going to be you and I'm going to be me. If I get to heaven and realize that I'm not me, then I didn't make it. Right? If I get to heaven and realize I'm not me, then I didn't make it. I'm going to be me. You're going to be you for all eternity. But what we're going to talk about today is the changes that's going to be made. You're going to be a different you in many ways, but you're still going to be you. Verse 35, but someone will say, "How are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come?" So if there's going to be a resurrection of dead, how's that going to happen? And what are they going to look like? What connection is there going to be? "You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else." Probably a very poor illustration, but I grew up in farm country. I never farmed. They backed a lake up on our farm when I got old enough to work, so I got to play with the tractor, but I didn't have a farm. but many of the people in my area farmed, and one of the main crops was tobacco. Linda loves working in tobacco. She absolutely hates working in tobacco. But anyway, that was one of the main crops. And earlier in the year, every year, some of the farmers would have plant beds. They would have plant beds in which they would plant little bitty seeds in the ground, cover them up with this white sheet or whatever it was. I don't know what it was. But take care of them and all that. And in a few weeks, there would be the miniature tobacco plants. And they would plant the plant, and then it would grow to be a tobacco plant. But they started with the little bitty seed. And the tobacco plant looked nothing like the seed. The seed just was a little bitty thing. But when they planted it and it grew, it became that plant. I can't help but thinking about, even though the illustration here is seeds, I can't help thinking about an acorn and an oak tree. What's the relationship between an acorn and an oak tree? The oak tree comes from the acorn, right? If I did not know that, and you took me out and showed me a big old oak tree and a little bitty acorn and said, now this one day will be like that. If you didn't know that already, what would you say to me? You're some kind of a nut, just like the acorn. You know, that little acorn will never become an oak tree. If you look at a little bitty seed, that seed is going to become a beautiful plant. What does Paul say has to happen to it? That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. So what it looks like after it becomes a plant is entirely different than what it looks like while it was a seed. But it is connected, right? You don't get the plant without the seed. And the plant came from the seed. What he's talking about is you now in the flesh are like the seed. It's going to be so much bigger and so much better and so much greater, but it's still going to be you. But first, you got to die. First, you got to die. That's the only way the new plant can come. Verse 38, but God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. So one kind of seed grows one kind of plant, another kind of seed grows another kind of plant. So even though the Bible teaches that we're going to be like Jesus, we're still going to be unique. You're still going to be you. You're going to be like Jesus in many ways, but you're going to be you. You're going to be unique and different from everybody else. Just like you are here. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there's one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are some similarities between the different kinds of flesh, but they're all different according to this text. They're all different. There's a flesh of man. There's a flesh of birds. There's a flesh of beasts. There's a flesh of fish. Now, since this is true, verse 39, since this is true, evolution is impossible. Fish does not become man. Beast does not become man. It is a different kind of flesh according to the scriptures. It is different. There are a lot of similarities, but it is different. And what he's illustrating is your resurrected body is going to be different from your body now. It's still going to be you, just like the seed becomes a plant. It's still going to be you, but it's going to be so much bigger and so much better and so much greater than it is now. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one and the glory of the earthly is another. In other words, the heavenly bodies are one kind of deal, the earthly bodies are another kind of deal, and they all have their special glory. There's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for each star difference in glory. The sun and the moon are both heavenly, and they are both magnificent in their way. But they are different. Right? The sun is not like the moon. The moon is not like the sun. Now, from our perspective, it seems like the moon is just a dimmer one. Right? This doesn't shine quite as bright. But the fact is, if we know the truth, what happens? The sun has no light of itself. I mean, the moon has no light of itself. It gets its light from the sun. Right? The moon reflects the sunlight. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. Very important. I want to stop and underline it and circle and put it in bold and all that good kind of stuff. It is sown. What does that mean? Buried. In this life, we are a perishable body. That means we are subject to disease, death, and decay. We are subject to disease, death, and decay. And that happens to all of us who live in a perishable body. Now, it happens sometimes to some people faster than other people, but everybody it happens to. When I was a young teenager, I wanted to lift weights. I never wanted to be a bodybuilder. I guess I just thought that was hopeless, I guess. I don't know. But I never wanted to be a bodybuilder. But I loved powerlifting, to be able to lift a lot of weight. And one of my favorite heroes was a man by the name of Paul Anderson, who at the time was listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the strongest man in the world, and was listed in the Guinness Book of World Records for a number of years as the strongest man in the world, the man who lifted the most weight off the ground than any other man who ever lived. They've taken him out of there now, saying there was some question about the legality of his lift or whatever. But anyway, for years and years and years, he was known as the strongest man who ever lived. Just a few years before he died, he was still very, very strong for his age, but something happened to him and he lost his balance. He couldn't stand up. His balance was off. And so he had to be in a wheelchair. And here was somebody who supposedly was the strongest man in the world, and he couldn't walk across the floor. Why? Because we are perishable. We are subject to disease, death, and decay. He died at 61. Was, supposedly, one time, the strongest man who ever lived. And he died. We live in a perishable body. We live in a body that's subject to disease, death, and decay. And there's almost nothing we can do about it. We can eat right and exercise and all that kind of stuff and may be able to stretch it out a little bit, but the end's still going to come. In the area I grew up in the country and everybody knew everybody, but the area I grew up in, there was a man there that weighed about 300 pounds, and all of us thought he was the strongest person we'd ever seen. In fact, the legend, the story was that years before I came along, that he was in one of the local stores and got mad at somebody and went outside the store, and that person's car, the person he was mad at, picked up the car and turned it over on the side. So when that fella came out, his car was laying over on the side instead of on his wheels. And I never knew whether that story was true or not, but they told it, and everybody told it as the truth around him. He was a strong man. Very, very strong. And everybody knew it. You didn't mess with him. In fact, he was, in our little area, he was the first person who bought a TV. And a lot of people would go to his house on Friday night to watch the boxing matches. but you didn't sit anywhere close to him because he got involved. He got involved in the match, and he would swing his arms, so you didn't want to be around that. He was extremely strong. And I remember his funeral. When the preacher said, when I came to Gettysburg, Virginia, Dick Lynch was the strongest man around. And now he's lying in a casket, dead. We live in a perishable body. Listen to what it says. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised, tell me, an imperishable body. That means it is not subject to decay, death, and disease. It is not subject to those. The new body will not get sick. It will not die. It will not decay. The body you have now will. I don't care what you do, it's going to happen. But the new body is not, that's not the case. It's no longer subject to disease, death, and decay. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. I don't care how strong you are, or how smart you are, or how great you are, or how rich you are. When you die, you're just like everybody else. Money-wise, you brought nothing into the world, and you're going to not take anything out. You may have become the strongest man in the world. You're still going to die and have no strength. But if you're a Christian, while you are sown, you die in dishonor, you're going to be raised in glory. While you die in weakness, you're raised in power. I talk to people all the time, and almost everybody I know, if they're Christians, if they're strong Christians, they will say, I'm not afraid to die. That's not the problem. But I really don't like that part that comes just before death. But somebody else has to wait on me and take care of me. I've never seen a person who said, I'm not afraid of that. Almost everybody I know. I wish I could just skip over that. Death for the Christian is a joy, right? It's a victory. It's a victory. But the dying process, getting old and getting diseases and having physical problems, and we get weaker and weaker and weaker, and then we're gone. But if we're Christians, we're going to be raised powerful. No more disease, no more death, no more decay. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Now listen to me. A spiritual body is still a body. A spiritual body is still a body. It does not mean I'm going to float around like a cloud in eternity. That's not what that means. I'm sown as a natural body physically, raised as a spiritual body that is going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was resurrected, 1 John chapter 3 says that we're going to be like Jesus after his resurrection. When we are resurrected, we're going to be like Jesus. And most of the time, people could recognize Jesus. There are one or two examples in which they didn't. One time, they didn't recognize him because miraculously, they were prevented from recognizing him. But most of the time, they knew him. Why would they know him? They'd seen him before he was resurrected. He looked like he looked before. There were some things that you knew who it was. That's the reason I say you're going to be you in all eternity. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he met with Moses and Elijah. Is that right? Some of you Bible scholars help me. And they knew Moses and Elijah. They didn't say, you know, two ghosts, two spirits showed up and talked to Jesus. No, they said Moses and Elijah showed up and talked to Jesus. They were still Moses and still Elijah. And you're going to be you for all eternity. The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Every one of us live in a natural, earthly body that's made of dust. Every one of us is subject to disease, death, and decay. And we have to go through that process, that natural body. And if we're Christians, then we have a spiritual body that is no longer perishable. It is now imperishable. It is no longer weak. It is strong. It is no longer inadequate. It is adequate for whatever we need to do. It is like a seed. It is like a seed that becomes a plant. There is a connection between the two. The plant came from the little seed. There's a connection, but there's a world of difference in the way it looks and the way it acts. If you're a Christian, you're going to be resurrected from the dead, and you're still going to be you. But you're going to be so much more glorious and so much more perfect and so much more powerful than you are now. Why are we going to be resurrected? Why? Because Jesus was resurrected. We're going to be resurrected because Jesus was resurrected. Verse 49, just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. The resurrection. We celebrate that. On Easter, we celebrate it every Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus. Today we talked about not so much the resurrection of Jesus, but we talked about the results for you personally. The results for you personally, because Jesus is resurrected, you're going to be resurrected if you're a Christian. And your perishable body will put on the imperishable. Now you are subject to disease, death, and decay. Then you will not be. Now you are in the process of becoming weaker and weaker as you get older. Then you're going to be powerful. The resurrection of Jesus is the main purpose of the Easter celebration. But for you personally, what that means if you're a Christian, if you've accepted the gospel, you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, what that means for you is that your imperishable body will put on the imperishable. You will live never to die again. Revelation 21 talks about the fact that there's coming a day when there's no more mourning, no more death, no more crying, no more pain. When is that coming? When we have the resurrected body. Resurrection. I have a new body. And every Christian is going to have a new body. Every Christian. You're still going to be you, but you're going to be so much more magnificent than you are now. You're not going to have to deal with the aging process of disease, death, and decay. All because you let Jesus take your burdens. You gave them to Him. If you've never done that, what a great day to do it, Easter 2013. To give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and have that assurance that your perishable body will become imperishable. Your corrupt body will become incorrupt. Your body now that's in the process of dying will become totally, totally alive.